Last night, as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that I had a beehive here inside my heart, and the golden bees were making white combs and sweet honey from my old failures. Antonio Machado, from Times Alone. Sea Change. Chapter 1. Rosie and her friends were blooming like spring, budding, lithe, agile as cats. They wore tiny dresses and skirts so short that their frilly satin tennis bloomers showed. Into their bloomers, they tucked an extra tennis ball to extract when it was needed, as with sleight of hand, like pulling a rabbit out of a hat, a quarter from behind an ear. Their days were spent honing their games in lessons and practice, playing in tournaments, and in between matches, watching each other compete, killing time, hanging out, playing ping pong, and endless games of cards. They were brown as berries, with feet as white as the moon. The sock lines at their ankles were as sharply drawn as saddle shoes. Rosie and her partner, Simone Duval, were good, ranked number one in the girls' 14 and under doubles in Northern California. Cocky and devoted, they loved to be watched by almost everyone but their parents, loved to be watched by other kids, by their pros, by the other kids' pros, and by members of the clubs at which they played, the weekend duffers who'd look at Rosie Ferguson, 13 years old and 70 wiry pounds, hitting the ball as hard as almost any man they knew, thick black curls whipping, Siamese blue eyes, steely, impassive, 20 bullets in a row, over the net and in, frowning almost imperceptibly if she missed. The kids on this circuit could go to any club in the country, probably the world, and in simply rallying with one another, draw a small crowd. Their parents sat in groups, holding their children's knapsacks and sweats, unconsciously dandling them in their laps when the tension rose. The parents, tight-faced, vigorous, vibrating, sat in silences so grave and tense that except for the rampant whiteness and signs of wealth, they might have been waiting for disappeared children in Central American plazas. Each tournament was played by dozens of these tiny pros, all watching one another play, all aware of each other's rank and seed. The girls would have loved to be watched by boys. For the most part, however, the girls watched the boys play, but the boys rarely watched the girls. The boys were stronger, heavier, more aggressive, and most of the men preferred to watch them play, except for the girls' fathers, sometimes their coaches, and Luther. There was a man named Luther who had started following the girls from tournament to tournament last year, arriving in Sacramento or Palo Alto or Berkeley or Stockton, wherever that week's tournament was. Luther came by bus with no suitcase, no gym bag, no nothing. He looked like one of the men who stood by the side of the road at intersections, holding up a sign saying they were hungry and homeless, had babies or AIDS, would work for food. One day in Modesto, he just showed up and started watching some of the girls play. It quickly became clear that he had favorites, and that Rosie Ferguson was one of them. People guessed that Luther was in his late 40s, although he could have been much older or younger. He was white, but sometimes dirty, and big, with rounded shoulders and a close crew cut. He may have been handsome once, with a good straight nose and rugged jawline. He wore old worn pants and jackets, black wingtip shoes. His eyes were dark brown, often rimmed with red as though from drinking, although you never saw him with a bottle. His teeth were strong looking, but the yellow of old linoleum. The slow smile was the worst part. When he was sitting on the lowest bench of the bleachers, as close as he could get, and he leaned in to watch when a girl had to bend low to the ground, and he smiled. A current of fear and excitement would run through the girls, a dark thrill like they felt at scary movies. The parents had tried all last year to get the police to make him stop watching their daughters, but because he wasn't doing anything wrong and was never publicly drunk, there was nothing they could do.